Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now today in lesson 318, and we are in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 18. After choosing the leaders of Israel to be a part of the census, and that was, mind you, not a decision of Moses to make, but God Himself gave him the instructions, and that's the way God reigned and ruled over His people. Not only tiny little things. That is not only major things that he commanded to be done, but also oftentimes in detail, like with the building of the tabernacle, and here with the choice of men and by name. You see the example later on with Jesus Christ. When he chose his 12 disciples, he prayed all night. He prayed to the Father so that the righteous will be made. And here is something similar to that. Well, this Jesus Christ now, in the person of the God of Israel, is making the choice about the 12 men who are going to be a part of this counting of Israel. And He is the one that chose them and by name, and He is the one that told Moses to call on this man and make them a part of this endeavor here in counting Israel. And it's interesting, when you study the Bible from beginning until the end, you see the continuity, you see the same mind, you see the same nature and character. And that's, in essence, was a part of my calling. When my mind was opened, when my eyes were opened, and I began reading the New Testament, what I recognize of all things is the mind and the author. You see, it was the same mind and the author I've known all my life, from Genesis until Malachi. And now I saw it also in the Gospels, as they are called, in the writings of the disciples, but especially in the Gospels. And that's what you find out. It's one book. It's of one mind. And that's what Paul was talking about. And most people don't know what he's talking about. We have one Lord, you see, be it in Genesis 1:1 or here in his day. One doctrine, you see. One way, one path, one God, and all those things. He's talking about the continuity of the totality of the whole experience of the children of Israel, and all the way going back to the Garden of Eden. So you miss an awful lot when you have no background and you go to the New Testament and you think you're going to a new religion. Well, certainly you will be going to a new religion because you would not understand what you're learning, and you will invent a new religion. That's exactly what happened to an awful lot of people. And it's very pathetic to see an awful lot of people of God having a contempt for what they think is the Old Testament, and they just want to read the New Testament. And when you teach them matters from the Word of God, from the words of Jesus Christ, from the beginning of time, you know, they don't think about it in that manner, you see. Even though academically they know that Jesus Christ is the God of Israel, you know, they're still... And in the back of their mind, they still think, oh no, we've got, you know, a new God, you know, that's Jesus Christ, and that's the New Testament, and that's all we want to read from. Well, that tells us an awful lot of what spirit we are, at least to a degree, and why God tells us and commands us, come out of Babylon, because many of us are still children of Babylon, whether we like to admit it or not, in so many ways. Anyway, in verse 18, let's continue here, we read, and they assembled all the congregation, that is, these leaders, just like, you know, Jesus Christ. He chose 12 disciples. He gives them the teachings, and he gave them some, you know, there were a couple of occasions. He gave them bread when he blessed it, and he made them divide it among all the children of Israel. And so you see the manner of, you know, government and the way God governs. And has never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what he does here. He chose this man by name. And now he says, well, in essence, now you're going to assemble the congregation. And that's what we read here, verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month. And they declared their pedigrees after their families. And that was very important to God, very important for the land, very important for genealogies. And you see, from the beginning until the end, genealogies are very important to God. And even when it came to his own history, when he came in the flesh, you saw his genealogy right there in two places, in the book of Matthew and then Luke. And so to this very day, it's still important to him. And when the time comes in the future, you're going to see a reenactment of that. Everybody is going to be, in essence, only God knows that, because, you know, we don't know where we came from. A lot of us may, you know, to a certain point, to a certain degree, in many societies they still do know. They can go back many generations, thousands of years maybe. And especially those who know that they are of the royal house of David, you know, they know where they came from. But most of us don't, and yet God is going to make sure that everybody knows where he came from. And then based on that, he's going to be in his own family and land and so forth. So this is what we read here. And they declared their pedigree after their families by their father's houses according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their poles, as the Eternal commanded Moses. You see? Everything is as the Eternal commanded Moses. How many of us live our life like that? How many so-called churches or organizations or whatever it may be function in their in everything that they do as the Lord commanded Moses? You see? As this Lord said through Malachi, remember the law of Moses, my servant. And it's not only the ten. It's everything that he gave there in every detail, every aspect of life. He said, remember it, because that's the only form of government and basis and constitution. You see, that's the only place where you find all the basics on which everything else was built in terms of the prophets and later on, you know, the teachings of Christ himself when he came in the flesh and the disciples. You see, and when we forget that, what do we have? What do we have left? We're hanging in the air. That's why he said, you either remember that or else I'm going to bring utter destruction on the earth. So you should always remember that and, you know, engrain, that is, engrave it in our minds and hearts. And so that's what we read here, verse 19. As the Eternal commanded Moses, so did he number them, that is Moses, and obviously all the 12 that God chose, in the wilderness of Sinai, and the children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, we're talking about the father of the French people, by their families, by their father's houses, according to the number of names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, so again, speaking only about the men of war, those that were numbered of them, or the tribe of Reuben, were 40,600. And you're going to see two genealogies here, and then you're going to see it later on in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe. And there are going to be some you know, interesting points between the two. When we get to that one, we shall see it again. But this is what he's saying here. Well, the tribe of Reuben were 46,000. That's a good size. That's only the men of war. You know, include all the men and women and children and older people. You know, you come up with a pretty big size. So 46,000. Oh, the children of Simeon, the second one, a tribe that was scattered throughout all the tribes of Israel. And in this land in particular, you find them in the south. They're called the rednecks nowadays, mixed with some Levites. And, you know, you see the same nature as their father, Simeon. Of course, they don't know it. One of these days, they're going to know, and these things will be very important to them. And so the kind of people that will be your loyal friends for eternity, but don't you ever dare, you know, double-cross them. And so that's the way Father Simeon was. And their generations, by their families, by their fathers, houses, those who were numbered thereof, according to the number of names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, and those that were numbered of them of the tribe of Simeon were 59,000, even bigger, tribe of Simeon, pretty big, you know, spread all around the, you know, the tribes of Israel, in Europe, here, in Australia, everywhere you find them in Israel, an awful lot of the army men, you know, the men of war and the generals of all the tribes of Israel, be it in the Americas, Europe, or in Judah, basically come from the tribe of Simeon and Levi. These were the men of war in Judah. Of course, others were too, but this had specific qualities there, special traits. And verse 23, we read, that's their number, 59,000. That's, in essence, so far the biggest tribe, 59,300. And all the children of Gad, their generations, by their families, by their father's houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, or the tribe of Gad, were 40 5,000, just 1,000 less than Reuben. So it's a pretty big one today, as some believe, and other the people of Belgium. In other words, the Belgic people, and, you know, probably also in other places. Some historic records give us information that they are found also in parts of Italy and other places. Only God knows exactly who, where, what, and every single one of them. In the future, we're going to find out exactly. But, you know, there are indications, historic indications of where they are nowadays and have been for the last many years. And again, by their qualities and traits and things like that, and signs of the head, you know, in the old days, you know, the symbols of the head, the flags, that the head and things like that, you can locate them. There's a lot of information out there for those who are willing to dig in and find out and have open minds at the same time. So this is the tribe of Gad. They're 45,000. And God was always nearby Reuben for the simple reason they were planted, in essence, by Moses in the same land on the east bank of the Jordan. And so it was natural for them to stick together. And also a part of Manasseh, half the tribe of Manasseh was with them. So all these are, they kept the historic links throughout history to this very day. And so you see Americans and French people always together. That's because, you know, their forefathers were always together on the east bank. That is half of Manasseh, at least. Verse 26, all the children of Judah, their generations, and mind you, he goes by the order of birth, you see. So Reuben is the firstborn, and would always remain the firstborn. After all, he is the firstborn of Leah. And then, actually, Jacob had four firstborns, because he had four wives. And Joseph was the last one, actually, the last firstborn that he had, when you think about it. And yet he became prominent in terms of the birthright, but not in terms of the scepter. Judah remained the head to this very day, will be, is, was, and that's the way it's going to be. That's the way God chose it to be. Verse 26, of the children of Judah, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Judah, and look at how many they were. They were 70,000. You're talking about 74,000, the biggest tribe. And even though it is not known, and it's not perceived, it's not understood, Jews think, you know, there are only about 14 million today, and, you know, 16 million. That's because an awful lot of them are, have intermarried. You don't know who is who nowadays among most of the Jews. Well, they don't realize, obviously, they don't know the Scots are also Jews from the line of Zerah, and also they were the children of Shelah, the third son of Judah. And in reality, Judah has been, is, and still is to this very day, though people do not fully comprehend and understand that, still the biggest tribe in Israel. You see, as one tribe. Obviously, Joseph had two tribes, so, you know, in one sense you might say he's even more. But as one tribe, you see, Judah is still pretty big. So some have figured out, you know, just like one book that I read recently, in the days of the Roman Empire, the Jews were about 5 million, which was about 10% of the Roman Empire. Mind you, 10% of the Roman Empire at that time. And that's only the people of Perez, you see, of the known Jews, not including Zara that was in Scotland and other places. And so he estimates by that figure, you know, today there should be around 200 million of them. But when you consider the entirety of the Jewish race, all the sons of Judah, you see, there are probably many more than that. One of these days we're going to find out, and certainly when we end up with the final census, after the second resurrection, you see, not the first, the coming of Christ, but after the second resurrection, when you count at that point, when they're all alive, standing on their own hands, you know, that is, sorry, their own feet, and breathing and alive, you're going to find billions and billions and billions of just children of Israel. And of them, the house of Judah, there would be many, many billions too. That's when the entirety of the house of Israel finally do their job for which they were called, to go to all the rest of mankind, which are going to be numbered, you know, who knows, probably will be trillions, all of them put together, whoever lived. And so the house of Israel is going to have a lot of work to do with an awful lot of people, but then there are going to be many of them too. And so this is what we read here. It's the biggest tribe. There were 74,000. And all the children of Issachar, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able in Issachar, today is known as the Finnish people. And there's a lot of history about it too. And as a matter of fact, a lot of historians in Finland know their ancestry. You know, Finland and Estonia and part of Latvia there, they're all the same people, Finnish people. And they're all of Issachar. And there are those guys there that maintain record and kept records of their ancestry, and they know that they are from this tribe of Issachar. Not everybody is totally ignorant of the ancestry of the house of Israel. God still makes sure that there is a good bit of information left behind, and in spite of all the attempts of the Catholic Church to totally wipe out every record possible about the children of Israel, and they've done it meticulously, especially in the days where only the monks were in charge of the libraries, since you know everybody else was engaged in war and couldn't care less about history and genealogy and all that. And so the monks went all over the place gathering every book they could. And obviously the things they didn't like, they wiped out. You see, but they were not able to do it everywhere. And in many places they could not. And so records are still there, in spite of that, because God is still there. And he's going to let all of Israel know who they are. And of their own people, who kept history and knowledge and understanding, they are going to rise and make it public and open. And nobody is going to squelch it anymore, as they did many times in the past. And so, this is what Issachar is. And of Issachar, we find out that those that were numbered in verse 29 of the tribe of Issachar were 54,000. Still, a very big tribe, bigger than Reuben at this point, bigger than Simeon at this point, and pretty big tribe. And so, in verse 30, we read of the children of Zebulun, today are known as the Dutch people, the generations by their families. You know, Zebulun is the one that dwells by the seacoast, and they still do to this very day, as they were in the ancient times, by the border of Lebanon in those days, you see, and they were seafaring people, and they still are to this very day. That's the reason why they're in Holland, and that's where you find in Rotterdam the biggest port in the world, Rotterdam, and that's where the Dutch people are. So Zebulun, we read, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go to war, that is, forth to war, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Zebulun, were 57,000. Again, another big tribe there. And 400. Now we come to Joseph, verse 32. Now the children of Joseph, basically today, the children of Joseph was separated and, you know, from his brothers and then reunited in Egypt. And all of them lived together happily ever after, at least for a while, until they got into trouble because of their idol worship and ended up in slavery. And that was the way God was going to bring them back to himself and also create a nation out of them and forge them into one, which is going to be again in the future, in the soon coming future, where now they're totally divided. And Joseph doesn't know who the rest of the brethren are, and the brethren do not know who Joseph is, and Joseph doesn't know who he is, except the few among them that they do know. But the people of Joseph today are basically found in the British Isles, in America later on, you know, the colonies that became nations, in Canada, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, you know, many places here and there. As a matter of fact, many of them never came to the West. They went back from the Caspian Sea, from the territory of the Black Sea, where they used to be, in the days of Josephus, where he still knew their identity, and so did all the nation of Judah at the time. And he made it very plain, they were all beyond the river Euphrates, and then they began migrating into the Europe, Russia first, you know, they dominated Russia, the British Isles, they planted their royal houses all over Europe, basically the entirety of the royal houses of Europe are all made of one family, and basically from the house of David and the house of Judah, in terms of the people that went out of David from the other line of Judah, Zerah, and they went to Scotland and, you know, British Isles and things like that. And so this is where you find them. And this is their ancestor. So, you know, when people read, this is, you know, let's call it in this country, early American history, in New Zealand, early New Zealand history, or in Australia, early New Zealand history, and in Britain, you know, early British history, and all that. This is recorded here. You know, you begin to understand why it's so important, why God recorded this. And with that in mind, you know, this should become more interesting. You say, our forefathers, so many of us, of the tribes of Israel, you know, whichever tribe we are. And so, of Joseph, this is what you read, namely of the children of Ephraim first, you know, Ephraim became the first, you see, even though he was the second, Manasseh was the firstborn, yet Ephraim became the had the prominent role here, and he still did, you know, he had it for many, many centuries to come until recently, in the last 2-3 centuries, where Manasseh finally regained his preeminence and became what is known today as the United States. Of course, the United States has all the children of Israel there, including all the children of the world were here. And that's the way it was in the days of Joseph. So a repetition of that. And some argue about this, you know, is Ephraim Britain or is he United States and so forth? Well, the overwhelming majority of information and knowledge and understanding and facts and flags and signs and all that, you know, notwithstanding, you know, the so-called scholarship of some people, points to this very fact that Ephraim is the British people. They were the royalty, remained the royalty, and they were not always the best people, unfortunately, to govern. A lot of oppression among them. Not a good record, you know, for Israel, and they have not been, you know, the beginning of time. You see? And then Manasseh came to America, and he couldn't stand his brother Ephraim being oppressed by him oftentimes. Finally came over here, established his own nation, had to fight them, together with their many of their relatives from Scotland, who were all Jews, from the line of Zerah, established this continent of the United States. And of course, part of the Ephraimites also went to Canada. And there is a mixture there of Ephraim and Manasseh and Reuben, and other tribes of Israel and other nations. So Ephraim, their generations were hidden, verse 32, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those were numbered of them, or the tribe of Ephraim, there were 40,500. So that's 40,000 of one son of Joseph. We're talking about one tribe, Joseph. And all the children of Manasseh, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses. These are the people that became known as the United States, but of course they're not all here, and many of them remain still in Europe to this very day, and many of them, as we were trying to mention earlier, they did not come west, they went east, and so they're still found to this very day, and they know, ironically, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them know their identity, not only in terms of Israelites, but tribal identity. You see, they are still called by those names. Even though an awful lot of them are Muslims nowadays. You know, after all, when you stick around and you are overtaken by religion, just like, you know, the people of Israel were overtaken by the Church of Rome, you see, and they gave in and caved in and became a part of it, though they should have known better, because the apostles of Christ came to them and gave them the true religion. But, you know, gradually they were sliding, like, you know, they always did, their forefathers, back into the world, into Babylon, into the, you know, the religions around them. They became a part of it, at least in religion. And so those people went back east. You find them today in several nations of Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, northern India. They were anciently in China. Some of them mixed with Chinese. And that's probably the reason why you find those tall Chinese who have more white features than Chinese, or at least mixture, you know, of that. And you find them in Uzbekistan, you know, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, many of those places, Afghanistan, and many of them are, ironically, of the Taliban people, you know, that rule Afghanistan today. What an irony in the history of the family of Jacob of Israel, but God is going to bring them back from all corners of the earth, from the east and the west and the north and the south, from everywhere, because that's where they are, literally everywhere. You see, and a lot of them are Muslims, and most of them are so-called Christians. Many of them are still Jews, in terms of, you know, the people of Perez, not the people of Zerah. and who knows about Shela, you see. And, you know, all kind of religions, and even among the people of Judah who were Jews, an awful lot of them are Catholics because, you know, they're all Protestants, you know, they get fed up of being persecuted. And just in Colombia, you find about 5 million Jews, descendants of the Maranos, that is, you know, the conversos, or the ones forced into Catholicism in Spain. And they went there, and also all the people most of the people of Costa Rica, they're all from the same people, they're all Jews. People don't know that, but their historians do know that, they have records. Of course, generally speaking, the majority of people do not know their own history. How many Americans know their own history? Even what happened 20 years ago. You see, people don't care about that, they just care about the moment. And that's basically what happens. That's what God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you know, in the book of Hosea. And he explained why. Because, you know, they have rejected knowledge, he said. People of Israel don't like to know. And that's what Manasseh, in essence, one of the tribes is all about. The name is forgetfulness, you know. Forget all about this, you know, that's his attitude. Who cares about the past? Living for the moment, you know, Disneyland, Nintendo's games and all kind of things like that, entertainment, rock music. Well, anyway, this is Manasseh, and of the children of Manasseh, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those were numbered of them, of the tribe of Manasseh, were 32,000. So 32 and 40, that's 72, and still, the tribe of Judah is 76. That's even bigger than them by 2,000, and that's at that time. What a huge tribe. And when David, later on in the days of David, when he wanted to number Israel, when he counted all of Israel, the men of war, when Joab went all over and counted them, and of course he did not finish counting, and he didn't count some of the people of Benjamin, you know, the brother of Joseph, but he counted just of Judah, there were over 500,000, and of all the rest of Israel, there were only 800,000 plus. So that tells you how huge was the tribe of Judah, you see, and how great it is, and how numerous it is to this very day. A lot of people don't think that way. So if the Jews are bemoaning the fact that, you know, that they're losing their numbers and they're only very few million, that's because of ignorance. They don't even know who they are, the majority of them. That's still a very big tribe. And, you know, as God said about the children of Israel, they're going to be like the dust, you see, on the seashore, like the stars in heaven, and they are, all of them. Nobody gets lost. You see, nothing that God brought into existence gets lost, be it human beings or the creation itself. You know, it may change into something else, you know, in terms of energy. You know, you burn something, it becomes energy, but it's still there. Nothing is lost. And especially with the children of Israel, God says, you know, though they're, you know, they are scattered all over the place and sifted in every direction. In the book of Hosea, you read it. You see, but none of them is going to be lost, he said. So he knows who they are, where they are, who the number is, you know, their part of the genealogy and things like that. The pedigree is going to bring them back and plant them in their land in the first coming and also in the second resurrection. That's awesome when you think about it. Verse 35, and here, you know, then this information becomes very relevant. I'm going to read all these things, you know, and people will sit down and say, hey, this is me, I'm from this tribe. You know, I was there, I was one of those men of war. And you're going to talk to those people in person, and this whole information is going to come up to life. You see, it's going to come up alive, so to speak, and become real and exciting. Not boring, as some people may take it now, you see. No context, no understanding, all that, obviously. That's the way we function, unfortunately. Anyway, that's with Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, verse 36, we read of the children of Benjamin, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. And mind you, people say, well, why this repetition? You know, it's boring. You know, we just say, well, no, Reuben is so many, and Ephraim is so many, and that's it. Make it simple and easy. Yeah, God, that's the way God recorded it. That's the way God told Moses to write it. That's the mind of God. That's the nature of God in detail. No lies, no deceptions, no way to get lost, you know, if you really follow it. You see? That by itself should tell you an awful lot. And that's how we should be, just like God, and not use this word ever when it comes to the Bible, to the Word of God, to the nature and mind of God, redundant. There is no such a thing in the nature of God, redundant. You see? You don't say, well, you know, all those stars, just call them stars, you know, redundant, you know, just many galaxies, quasars, you know, and flowers and plants and things like that, you know, just all repeat themselves, all look alike, and all redundant. It does not work like that with the nature of God. But look what happened to us. Look how far we are in our thinking, in our process of intelligence and comprehension and understanding and writing and speaking and talking, all that. You see, we are not like our gods. We are like the other God, unfortunately, in many ways, the wrong God. We have to do an awful lot of purging of the nature that we are made of. And, you know, in the study of the nature of God, or the words of God, or the truth of God, we begin to absorb that mind, that nature, that character, and we begin to talk like that, think like that, feel like that, be, you know, divine beings, be like Him, be Him. You see, we came from Him, we're Him. In many ways. That's our beginning from eternity, and we go back to eternity. We have, in that sense, no beginning, no end. That's why we can be called Elohim. You see? Even while we are in the flesh, because we came from Elohim, we are Elohim, we will be Elohim. And when we understand all that, that's not difficult to comprehend, you know, the awesome potential of man. But, you know, when you talk about people who have lost that, who are of a different father, unfortunately, spiritually speaking, well, then everything gets mixed up. So we read here about Benjamin, or the children of Benjamin, their generations by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, and all that were able to go forth to war. And those that were numbered of them of the tribe of Benjamin were 30,500. And when you go to the synagogue to this very day, not everybody does it, but there are still many, at least I grew up in a community that was doing it, we go through that every single year. In all the people that read, they know the law in the synagogue and the prophets, they read that. Jesus Christ did that. The apostles did that. The men of God did that. The church of God did that for centuries, you see, that we're truly the genuine followers of Christ. And to this very day, as we do it, the whole congregation, we're all reading it together, you see, and oftentimes, we all, you know, while they know the reader says that, we're saying it together with him. And this is exciting information to us. It's not boring. It's not old. It's not old stuff. You know, it's not redundant. That's life. That's our life. That's our nature and character. That's our heritage. You know, this is where we came from. That's a living thing, not dead and boring. You see, and that's unfortunate for many who have lost that. I wonder, you know, why we're in the wilderness of the spiritual desert, you know, that we are made of. Not only in it, but we are it in many ways. We have dried up, you know, the nature of mind and truth of God and the Word of God. And so it looks to us in a dry and boring and redundant. Verse 38. Anyway, Benjamin was 30,500. So this is what came from Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, and they basically were all put together. They were about 100,000. And Joseph, Judah, there were 76,000. 38, verse 38, all the children of Dan, and the Benjamites today are known as the people of Norway, you know, the Vikings. Benjamin was always a man of war, tall, you know, like King Saul, very tall man, beautiful looking, good looking, after all. They are children of Rachel, you know, a gorgeous woman, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin, children of Israel, beautiful, you know, she was a beauty queen. That's what Jacob married, and himself was a very handsome person. After all, he was a son of a glorious looking woman, which was Rebecca, you see, the aunt of Rachel, and his father, Isaac, a son of glorious beauty, Sarah, and so forth. The whole family was very, very beautiful. And that's why you find, you know, in essence, an awful lot of beautiful people among the children of Israel, especially you find them in, you know, among the children of Joseph and Benjamin, and others likewise. But, you know, there is a greater concentration there. Verse 38, of the children of Dan, Danites, today known as Irish people, and also a part of Denmark. Actually, most of the Danish people came from Judah. The people of Judah, they were taken to captivity. That's why, you know, the ancient land of Denmark was Jutland, Judah land. That's basically what it means. But, you know, the people of Ireland, they came from Greece, part of them, and went through Denmark, then to, you know, to Ireland. So they left their mark there, and they call it the Mark of Dan, Denmark. And the people of Dan went not only to Ireland. We have historic records of Danites that ended up in India, northern India. They're called, even today, they're still called the tribe of Dan or children of Israel. They have called by two different names. They know who they are. Basically, the Danites were maritime people, seafaring people. They traveled all around the earth, especially with the Phoenicians. They ended up in many places. Many of them even came to the Americas a long time ago with the Phoenicians in the days of King Solomon and after that. And so several ships, you know, were shipwrecked, apparently in a storm, and ended up in India, so they just remained there. But, you know, they're also found in other places, but mainly today in Ireland, and then from there, wherever they went from, you know, to, that is, a lot of them came to the States. You find a lot of Irish people here, Danites, tribe of Dan. You study their histories, which they have, preserved to this very day. You find their ancestry. They know who they are. That is, at least the people who are aware of that history. They know that they came from the tribes of Israel. They maintain a lot of knowledge and understanding there. Anyway, that's a part of the historic aspect we're studying here, ancient records of the Bible. And so the people of Dan, we read in verse 39, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Dan, were 72,700. And so you're talking about a huge tribe. That's 62,000. Verse 40, of the children of Asher, their generations, by their families, and Asher is known today, at least if historic records are correct, is the people of Switzerland, and historic records that I read finds them also in southern Italy, in Tuscany, and a lot of those places where they grow a lot of oil, and the places of Venice and Genoa and places like that. A lot of people of Asher went over there, at least according to some historic records. So again, you know, you find them in other places too. But, in other words, when the tribes of Israel moved, they did not all necessarily remain together with the tribe. Some of them just, they liked certain areas. Well, they said, well, I like this area, and they just stayed there. And the major body of the tribe continued to move. And so they ended up in certain locations, but still many of them are found in other places. So we should never think about a single nation or being of a single tribe, because a man's body may go there, but may other parts remain in other places. And so one of these days we're going to find exactly every single person, where they went, in all the tribes, the clans, the families, and all of them are going to be brought back, that is, those who are alive, in the days of Christ, when he comes back, the King of Israel, the God of Israel, back to the land of Israel, and then obviously, in the second resurrection, all the rest. And so we read about the tribe of Asher, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, all those that were numbered of them, the tribe of Asher, were 41,000, still a big tribe, of the children of Naphtali. Actually, they're even bigger than Ephraim. Oh, that is Manasseh, was what, 35,000? And something like that. Verse 41, and those that were numbered of them, again, 41,000 and 500. Verse 42, again, we're talking only about men of war. So that doesn't tell us how many children, how many wives, how many older people, you see, because then if you put all that together, maybe the balance would be different among the tribes. That we don't know. Because, you know, like in the days of Benjamin and his brothers, when they came down to Egypt, he had 10 kids. Benjamin, I mean, he was really prolific. And others, you know, may have had only 2 or 3. See, so if you were to count only Benjamin, you wouldn't know how many in his family. And so it's important to recognize. And now we go to verse 42 of the children of Naphtali. And Naphtali basically are the people of Sweden. They have records. I read quite a bit of that. The records of the Scandinavian people, Naphtali, so the historians know who they are, the Swedish people, same traits and qualities as their forefathers, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those who were numbered of them, of the tribe of Naphtali, were 53,000, so that's a pretty big tribe, and 400. verse 44. And the Swedish people, they're quite talented people. They had a lot of dominion in Europe, in Russia. They dominated a lot of Russia for quite a while. And still very influential in many ways. Verse 44. These are those that were numbered, speaking about, let's see, we're now with Naphtali. Naphtali were 50,000 and 3,000. And then verse 44, these are those that were numbered which Moses and Aaron numbered. So Naphtali here was the last, even though he was not the last born. You see, Benjamin was the last one. But in this order here, in the first four, you have the first four who were born. But after that, there is a shift in terms of the order of the tribes. So Naphtali is the last one. And so we read, these are those that were numbered in verse 44, which Moses and Aaron numbered. You see, it was something to be done by religious and civil, in essence, you might say. It's not really, Moses was not a civil ruler, but he was not a religious ruler in the sense of Aaron, you see. But he was the lawgiver, so. In the nation of God, in the people of God, the government of God, there was no separation between church and state, as it became known later on. It's all one. And so in essence, God says, the servants of God, the spiritual servants of God, must be very deeply involved in this counting of Israel. Well, of course, people couldn't care less about that, and to this very day they do their own thing. And they don't realize that there is a penalty to be paid for that, and God, in one way or the other, He takes care of that. And so they were numbered by Moses and Aaron, and the princes of Israel, so all of them were involved, being 12 men, the 12 disciples at that point, you might say, which were chosen by God Himself. And they were each one of His, one for His father's house. All those that were numbered, all the children of Israel, now we have the total, by the father's houses from 20 years old and upward, and that were able to go forth to war in Israel, you see, even all those that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. Some people look at this number, having a shallow knowledge and understanding of the book, they think, well, okay, that was Israel, 600 plus. Well, no, that was not Israel. That was just a small part of Israel, because now you have all the children, and people have lots of children in those days, and wives, and daughters, sons and daughters, and all those who were 60 and up. You see, that's a huge nation. And people had, all kind of guesses, By today's, you go to a society today, you don't go to America, that's not a good place to go to, unless you go to the Spanish people that have lots of children, or some minorities that do. But you go to a nation, basically, is made of big families, and you see, and you count 600 and, 1,000 there plus, and you get an idea of how many people are in that land, and probably, it's anybody's guess, probably 6, 8, 12 million people. We don't know. Only God knows that. But there were an awful lot, a lot of people. And so that was their number. Verse 47, mind you, one tribe is not counted here, but the Levites. That was also a big tribe. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. God didn't want them counted. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, howbeit, the tribe of Levi you shall not number, neither shall you take the sum of them among the children of Israel. So this is an act that is prohibited by law, the constitution of God. Don't ever count the ministry, the people of God. Oh, well, you think about people, they couldn't care less about that. And I think about it even among the church of God, what do we care about that, about this law of God? Don't count. The ministry, well, here's the tribe of Levi. They were the ministers of Israel. We do count it. Of course, we live in a totally different world. We live in Babylon, so we function like Babylon. Even though God tells us, come out of Babylon. Verse 49, he says, do not do it. Howbeit, the tribe of Levi, you shall not number, neither shall you take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But appoint you the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the furniture thereof, and over all that belongs to it, and they shall bear. That's at this point, obviously, because Levi had much more than just this. the temple was only a part of the responsibility of Levi. That's why Levi, including the priests, which are all Levites, obviously, just one family, they were spread throughout all of Israel. They had 48 cities, and they were the judges, they were the physicians, they were the Department of Education, you see. They were the people that taught you professions and things like that, and the laws concerning it. Everything was in their hands, so much, you see. And the tabernacle was only a part of it. And then, on a periodic basis, they sent their priests and Levites to Jerusalem, when Jerusalem became the city, that is, the center, to serve there for a couple of weeks, and then they came back home, and they continued to do their jobs there. There were the judges and teachers and physicians and all that. So the role of the Levi was extremely complex and very much involved in the life of Israel, and they were wearing an awful lot of many hats. And based on that, because they did all those things, not only just go to the tabernacle, they received the tithe. So God demanded a lot from the Levites in return for the tithe that He gave them from Israel. Well, anyway, today's Levites have to learn a few lessons from that. We're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.